The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
You'll all find a seat. Everybody sit down. There you go. Let's see if I can sit down and get up after a while. Lots of places have a lost and found box. Restaurants have one, schools have one, even our church has a lost and found box. So I brought us a lost and found box this morning, and let's see what might just be in a lost and found box. One shoe. Now, don't you think you'd know if you lost one shoe? Wouldn't you be looking for it? So what's that doing in a lost and found box? Oh, look. Here's a jacket. Somebody took it off when it got hot. Don't you think they'd like to have that this morning? It's kind of cold this morning. Oh, look, here's a pair of glasses. Somebody lost their glasses. Now they can't read anything. Well, my goodness, look what's in here. Here's my cell phone. I've been looking for this all morning. Here it is. Have you ever lost anything? What have you lost? Something that was important to you? Did you find it?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you found it?
I felt so happy.
You were so happy. You kind of wanted to celebrate, didn't you, when you found it? Did anybody else lose anything?
I did.
What did you lose?
I lost a pair of glasses when I go out
and
sunny.
Mm-hmm. Did you find them? Mm-hmm. No, you lost them. So you're kind of sorry that you didn't find them, right?
And they still haven't given the case
that they weren't in. Oh, dear. Well, we'll have to look for those. Everybody loses something sooner or later. What did you lose? Did you find it?
No.
Well, we're going to have to do some. Maybe you need to look in the lost and found box. Jesus told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of those sheep strayed away from all the others. Every one of the shepherd's sheep were important to him. So the shepherd left his 99 sheep and went and looked for the one sheep that was lost. When he found that one sheep, he called all his friends together and he said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Jesus told that story about a lost sheep, and he told the story that Pastor read just a while ago about a lost son. Jesus told those stories so that we might understand about God's love for us. We are all God's children, and sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we do things, we say things that we shouldn't, that God wouldn't want us to say. Sometimes we don't even want anything to do with God, so we get lost. We're nowhere where God wants us to be. But we need to remember that God is always there for us. God is always wanting to find us. God always wants to look for us. God is always waiting for us to come back to Him. In fact, who did God send for us? Who did God send? Who did God send?
Jesus.
God sent Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He came to save us because we were lost. We are lost. And Jesus came so that we might be saved. And just as the shepherd in the story rejoiced when he found his one sheep, Jesus said, "There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents." So I'm glad that God loves us so much. He doesn't want to give up on us when we are lost. He is always waiting for us to come back to Him. Can you fold your hands and I'll read a prayer? Dear God, we are your children and you love each and every one of us. We are thankful that you don't give up on us when we get lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I think y'all are staying. You're going to sing? I think you're going to sing for us this morning.
Ready?
Lord, I lift your name.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This parable of the prodigal son is probably one of the best known parables in the Bible. It's probably a favorite of a number of people. And I think one of the reasons is because it's a simple story. It's a very good story. But at the same time, there's a lot of complexity to it. And there's a lot of different themes within this one story. I mean, you have the theme of unconditional love or of the joy of the Father. You also have the consequences of fast living, or you have a theme of being resentful and what that does, or the themes of forgiveness and humility. You have themes of disrespect. You also have that theme of unmerited grace, that grace that just abounds from God. But one of the themes within this story, I think, that somewhat intrigues me is that theme of loneliness. Every character in this story at some point is lonely. At the beginning of the parable, the younger son wasn't lonely, but he thought he was lonely. He had good home, had good family, he had a good house, he had good work to do, but yet he was not satisfied. He was not satisfied with or content with the life he had. He thought he was lonely and he wanted to go out and find friends. He wanted to find a new life. And so he took his share of the inheritance and he went out and he found friends. Or he thought they were friends. Because as soon as the money ran out, he no longer had any friends. And that is when he knew what true loneliness was. He had no friends. He was miles away from home. He had no family around. He had no home. He had no money. He had no food. He was desperate enough to take any job that he could find, and the only job that he could find was slopping the hogs. And for a Jew, this would have been one of the most demeaning jobs because swine were prohibited from the Jewish people. But yet, he hit rock bottom. And it was at that point where he hits rock bottom that he comes to his own senses and he thinks about his father. About the hired hands that his father has, that they're treated so much better than this. He is ready to be humble, to humiliate himself. He's ready to go back and confess his sins. He is ready to go back and ask for forgiveness. I think there are a lot of lonely people in this world. And sometimes it is our own fault that we're lonely. I think that younger son was just self-centered. Everything was about him. It's what I want. It's what I need. It's what I want to grab. It was all about himself. And when you think only about yourself, other people don't want to be around you. You don't have any friends. They're not around, and you become lonely. You become lonely at that point. The father was lonely in this story as well then too. There's no mention of a wife. There's no mention of a mother. And so we can probably safely assume that she is gone. She's no longer in the picture. And so this father is left with his two sons. And there's a sense of loneliness simply in that alone. But then his younger son leaves him. His younger son rejects him, rejects his own father, and has to go off on his own. It's one thing that when your children grow up and they become mature and they go away to school or they go away to get married or they go away for work, yeah, that's the healthy way of things are supposed to happen. But when a child leaves in an unhealthy manner, when a child leaves in anger or a child leaves simply as a rejection of where he or she grew up, it really hurts parents. It really hurts the rest of the family who is involved. And I can imagine the father's heart was just torn in pieces as his son left. His father was lonely. There are a lot of lonely people in this world, and many people are lonely not because of their own faults, but simply because of the circumstances around them. They've lost a husband. They've lost a wife, or maybe they've lost a child. Or their children do grow up and they go off and the house is empty and it's quiet. Or maybe a close friend moves off to a different town and we become lonely, that person that we depended upon. Or maybe your group of friends no longer includes you for one reason or another. We become lonely, not necessarily because of what we do, but simply because of the circumstances around us. The older son in this parable was also lonely. It comes out in his anger that he says to his father, when the older son finds out what's going on, he says to his father, "When your son has come back and you throw him a party..." It's interesting in here that the father calls him my son. The brother never calls him my brother, but yet calls him your son. An accusation. And that older brother says, "I'm the one who has been responsible all the time. I'm the one who has done everything that you have asked me to do. I am the one who has always been here. I am the one who has done the work. I didn't even take time to spend with my own friends." And I think that's probably the key in there. He is lonely. He hasn't spent the time with his own brother. He didn't spend time with his father. He didn't spend time with his friends. To be in relationship, to have relationships, we need to spend time with one another. We need to be in communication with them. We need to be able to tell people what's going on in our lives and to listen to them as well then too. We get so busy sometimes just with the busyness of life. We get busy with our own immediate families. We get busy with work. We get busy with hobbies. We get busy with recreation. We just don't spend the time building relationships. There are a lot of lonely people in this world. But to have friends, we need to be friend. We need to be a friend. Also in this gospel lesson this morning, we see the scribes and the Pharisees. I think, too, that they were lonely. They're the ones then who prompted this whole parable, because they were criticizing Jesus that he was eating with these tax collectors and these sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees were trying to keep all the laws, the rules, the codes, the regulations within their religion. And anybody who did not follow them were less than them. And so they were very judgmental. They were very critical and were criticizing. And when you set yourself up on a pedestal like that, you can't make relationships with the other people. Now, there may have been some camaraderie between the scribes and the Pharisees. But even then, you had to watch your own back. Because if you did mess up, they would see you. And you would be criticized. And you would also lose status. So they could never be open. They could never be truly honest. Because somebody was always watching them. Somebody would always be ready to criticize. And I think in that then, that they were lonely. And that's one of the reasons why they would criticize Jesus and criticize the other people. They would lash out at other people rather than welcome them in. Jesus is also included in this story. And I think there's many points or several points in his life where Jesus knew true loneliness. Right from the start, right from the beginning of his ministry, as he came out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And there he was alone, where he was out without food for 40 days and for 40 nights, out in that wilderness. And he was alone to face the temptations of Satan by himself. There had to be a loneliness in that. Or towards the end, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he called his closest disciples to him and says, "Come with me, pray with me. Watch and stay awake." But as Jesus was praying, his disciples fell asleep. Jesus was alone in his anguishing prayer. That had to be lonely. And then as Jesus was hanging on the cross, exposed, wide open, when his disciples had run away, when one had betrayed him, when one had denied him, and the others had scattered, hanging up there on the cross and dying, there had to be a loneliness in that as well as he suffered. There are a number of lonely people in this world, and that's not the way that God created us. In the very beginning, in the creation story itself, as God was forming human beings, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." We are made to be in relationship with each other, in relationship to each individuals, and maybe on different levels, as friendships, as married couples, as family. But then we are also to be in relationship with God. And that's what church is all about. That's what coming to worship is all about. And that's why it's so important for us. Because it's in worship that we restore relationships, that our relationships are strengthened. We come and we partake of that meal. We partake of Christ. And our relationship is brought up with God. We also come to worship. We sing together. We pray together. We listen to the word together. We strengthen one another. We talk to one another. We hear of the concerns that are going on in somebody else's life. Or we're able to share our own and unload our own and take that weight off of our own shoulders as we share our own concerns and our own worries and our own griefs with one another. We lift each other up. We support one another. And that is why it is so important that we gather as a congregation, as a people of God, as members of Christ's body. We come together. Many people in this world are lonely. Many are lost. But even though we are lost, we can be found. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.